Start on Parsha. So Parsha's Emor. I thought that the last few weeks I sort of added too much material and too many different opinions and so on. I thought at this time I would try just like one thing. The issue of calendar control. One of the things that Parsha's Emor is most famous for is the passage that we read on Yom Tov. We read it on Sukkot, and we read it on Pesach, right? Pesach, the second day of Yom Tov. On Sukkot, actually, first 2 days of Yom Tov, Shor Chesev, which includes in it the Shalosh Regalim. Right? The Torah mentions the Shalosh Regalim multiple times. But let's say in Pinchas, where it does it, it's all about the Karbanos. Right? In Re'eh, the focus is more about Aliyah L'Regel. In Emor, you get a focus on the different mitzvos of the Yomim Tovim. And as part of that, we are told that these are Mikroi Kodesh. They are holy convocations, meaning days when you gather everybody together, everyone is summoned together, which we are supposed to identify. We set the calendar. Three times in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, the Torah says that you shall set these dates. One time it says, I didn't bring all the psukim on here on your sheet, but it says, Moadei Hashem asher tekru osam mikrai kodesh. The Moadim, a Moed, an occasion, appointed time, of Hashem that you shall call holy convocations. Then the second one is the one that I gave you on the sheet, asher tekru osam b'moadam, that you shall call in their time. And then the third one, same parag, is Eila Moadei Hashem asher tekru osam mikrai kodesh. These are the convocations of Hashem that you shall declare Mikrai Kodesh. But each time, as I bolded for you in source number one, the word Osam is written without a Vav. So literally it's Osam, you shall declare them these days. But if you take out the Vav, you can read it as Atem. You shall declare, you shall be the one to declare it. And based on that, we understand that Beis Din has remarkable latitude when it comes to setting the calendar. And the Karaites really didn't like this. If you take a look at source number two, we talked about this with Rasajagon. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells the story of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, and Yom Kippur. Right? Is the story familiar? So the way the story goes, Rabbi Gamliel was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. He was the be-all and end-all in the period. Now, this is the second Rabbi Gamliel. There are three Rabbi Gamliels. This is Rabbi Gamliel the second. So this is the period at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, at the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, and after the Chorban. Rabbi Yoshua is the second in command to Rabbi Gamliel in the Beis Medrash. There were a few times where they went head to head. Rabbi Gamliel said something, and Rabbi Yoshua disagreed with it and got into trouble with Rabbi Gamliel. So there's a famous story in which Rabbi Gamliel ends up being deposed by the Chachamim because they can't deal with what he's doing to Rabbi Yoshua, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is appointed, and that's the whole story. Ari Yekivin Shin Mishana, and so on, of the Gemara and Brachos. This is a different story. This is where Rabbi Gamliel declared the new moon, and Rabbi Yoshua felt he was wrong. And Rabbi Gamliel ordered Rabbi Yoshua to show up on the day that he thinks is Yom Kippur with his walking stick and his money belt.
Yes, it was mentioned.
Yes. I did? Okay.
Yeah. Of course I don't remember it.
Okay. So Rabbi Yoshua is, of course, very, very upset. He thinks this is Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Akiva was a student of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Akiva goes to comfort Rabbi Yoshua. And that's where you see source number two. Reading my translation. Rabbi Akiva went and found Rabbi Yoshua upset. He said to him, "My master, why are you upset?" He knew full well, obviously. He knew the story, but he's getting into a conversation. He replied, "Akiva, it will be better that he," meaning himself, "be bedridden for 12 months and not have this decree issued against him." He said he'd rather be sick for a year than have to deal with this gezeira, this decree that he has to go on the day he thinks he's Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva replies, he responded, "My master, permit me to say before you something which you taught me." He said, "Speak." He responded, "Three times the pasuk says, like I said to you before, you shall call. You are the one who declare the Yom Tov. It is you. even in error, even if you do it by mistake, it's done. It is you even intentionally, even if you get it wrong on purpose. And it is you even if you are fooled. Witnesses show up that are not really witnesses, they lie, doesn't matter. With this language, he, Rabbi Yeshua, replied, Akiva, you have comforted me, you have comforted me. And that's the classic response to Rabbi Akiva in different, right, in different stories in the Gemara. So the question is a simple one. Why? Why do we have the freedom to shape the calendar in this way? The Moadim are commemorating historical events. Like, why do you get to just decide, you know, I want to change it. I know it's supposed to be then, but it's much more convenient if Yom Kippur isn't a Sunday. So I think on the whole, we're going to move it over a day. You know, like, why do you get to do that? And why intentionally, as well as accidentally, how do you understand that?
If the whole idea is commemorating is to service you, what's the purpose of commemorating? It's not for the dead people. They're not around anymore, right? It's for you. It's for your soul, for your spirituality, for you. Then if you really believe that today is the day, or you, meaning the rabbis of your time, believe that today is the day, then that's good enough for you.
But shouldn't there be, like, an objective calendar? We wouldn't like to think that you get to just play with the calendar. The calendar should be something sort of fixed in stone. You know, it's very strange, especially, you know, when you realize that it's based on celestial events, right? Was there a new moon or wasn't there a new moon? Right, you're not supposed to be fudging that.
Right, and they're like pretty like monumental dates. Like this is not like a Hanukkah or something. Like this is Yom Kippur. Like
right.
These are very significant.
Does that tie into like our like strengthening our belief in Emunas Chachamim?
It's a nice idea. I'm gonna bring one approach. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I feel like I've gone too far into bringing multiple ideas. I want to just bring one derech on this that I think is interesting. So Rav Yitzchak Arama, the Akedas Yitzchak, offers a fascinating explanation. He says, just to summarize what he's gonna say, the Yamim Tovim are key opportunities for Hashem's influence on our world. And Hashem designed us to have a key role in determining that influence. And now I'll explain what that means. He begins, I'm just going to use my English translation, but you have the original there as well. He begins by pointing out the Gemara's statement that the Sanhedrin could actually, you know, change things. It's not really the full Sanhedrin, it's a Beis Din, but he says, how in the world could they get away with that? You know, in the third line of the translation, middle of the line. How could we accept that Hashem and the heavenly courts would be drawn in their deeds after the deeds of the lower court in this amazing matter of arranging the times, even if the judges only determine them accurately? Meaning you say that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judges everybody. Hashem convenes his Beis Din. Well, it depends on when you decide Hashem is going to convene his Beis Din. Right? Hashem says you're not supposed to eat chametz on Pesach. However, if a person eats chametz on this day, it's okay, because Beis Din actually decided there's an extra month this year, so that's okay. That's not called Pesach. That's a different day. You know, how much more so when they said, you know, whether at their times or not at their times, I have no occasions other than these, as the Gemara says. That's elsewhere on the same daf in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Hashem says, I go with whatever times they say. And again, like we just read, even in error, even if you were fooled, even if you did it intentionally, doesn't make a difference. So how do you understand it? So he says, I need to give you four prefaces, which I'm going to do out of order because I find it easier to grasp when it's done in a different order than the way he did it. He gives you 1, 2, 3, 4. I switch them and I want to read them as 2, 1, 4, 3 because I think they're clearer that way. So we're jumping to where it says second in the beginning of the line. He says, just as divine wisdom arranged temporary times that would fit the predetermined natural order, as in, and they shall be for signs and occasions, days and years. When he says temporary times, don't think temporary like, it's a bad translation, I should use a different word. In the Hebrew, it's zmanim mitchalfim, passing times maybe. I don't want the connotation that they change because they don't. Sorry?
Transitional
times? Maybe transitional times. The point is that Hashem set up seasons. Times, you know, there's night and day and there's a winter and there's a summer. unless you live in Toronto, but generally, the, sorry? Oh, that's right. So too, there would be renewed times that would be set according to the desire that they should perfect things based on divine supervision. And what he means by that is that just like there is a time when the sun shines, and there's a time when it rains, and there's a time when it's dark, and there's a time when it's light, there is time when Hashem specifically supervises the trees, and a time when Hashem specifically supervises the grain, and all of that. And he quotes you, the Gemara, right, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that at four times the world is judged. On Pesach for the grain, Shavuos for the tree fruit, Rosh Hashanah, everybody gets judged. On Sukkot, we're judged for the water. There are times when Hashem specifically judges this world. That's number one. That happens at particular times. That's what your Yamim Tovim are. Because notice that all those judgments occur on Yom Tovim. So don't look at Yom Tov just as a historical commemoration. But it's also a focal moment in Hashem's relationship with the world. That's number one. Number two is, for us, his first point, when he says first. It is obvious to any person of religion that since his, God's, exalted wisdom decreed to create the human race such that its true nature should be to have free choice, God gave us free will, this mandated that the governance of this world should match and relate to human actions, whether good or to be made good, which is a euphemism. Mm-hmm. But either way, for what would be the worth of free choice if one's actions were all predetermined by nature? Right? He says, Hashem gives us free will. That means that Hashem wants the world in which we exist to correspond to that free will. Free will must give us some element of control of the world that we inhabit. So number one, the world we inhabit has times during which Hashem influences the world in different ways. And number two, Hashem gives us the ability to control or to manipulate that world in which we function. Now, jumping down to where he says fourth, which is the last line on this side. You see that? It is clear that even with people who are more perfect, since they comprehend through hilik powers, they are predestined to error and mistakes in their analysis. I'm not going through what hilik powers are. It doesn't matter for our purposes. The point is people make mistakes, which they can in no way avoid. God knows that he's giving you control of a system that you're going to botch. And since in the transmission of the system of setting the calendar, Hashem wanted for Kiddush HaChodesh and setting the occasions, there are many details and hard calculations. It was appropriate that Hashem accept what emerges from their analyses and from their fine calculations and not to anything else. For the Torah was not given to the ministering malachim. Hashem is going to accept what you do wrong because Hashem gave you control of the system knowing that you're going to make mistakes.
It's so interesting how there's such flexibility when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like it seems like it's such, like I said, like such important dates, except...
But not anymore.
And like... Correct, but like during that yeah. time, and like you have
we had the power to take it away from ourselves.
Yeah, there's right. a stark contrast between
yeah.
like the importance of that day, but then no, you could determine when that is, or Hashem's
right.
giving us that.
Right. I just want to finish off his yeah, thought, and then we can talk more about it. But he goes on to say there are different types of errors. You're tricked by somebody is one type. The witness told you something that wasn't true. You made a mistake in terms of trying to figure out what the evidence was telling you. Or intentionally, the way he explains that means you thought that by the rules of the calendar, you're supposed to do it this way, even though it's not matching up with whatever. You thought that's the way to fix things. That's what it's supposed to be. And that was incorrect. So all of these are types of mistakes that human beings make. And his last point, which again is point number three, so it's where it says third, is that Hashem forged a special relationship with Avraham and Sarah and their descendants, and that's why it's us. As opposed to a world body that's going to do this, it's specifically for us to take charge of this calendar. So that's why we end up being the ones to run the calendar. It's a combination of the importance of our free will that Hashem gave us, intending for us to have that kind of a manipulating role in the world. And the fact that the Jewish calendar is about Hashem's influence on our world. With all the different Yamim Tovim having the different influences that he talked about. The message for me, I think, is twofold. Number one, to look at the Yomim Tovim not merely as commemorations, but as opportunities for us to channel the forces of these historical events into influencing Hashem's relationship with the world. And number two, it teaches us the koach habechira, the power of free will, and how it's about not just I can decide whether I'm going to eat this or I'm going to eat that, but it's much bigger. It's world changing. And that's something that I think is very important that comes from it as well. Okay. Thank you very much.